Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Friends, let's join our hearts in prayer. As we come to you today, Lord God, may we come with open, invitational hearts to receive anew the gift of your word. Help us to listen, to draw close to what that word speaks, and allow it, Lord God, to take root in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus said to all who were listening that day, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." Now, I won't venture to guess how you may have felt when reading those words for yourselves, but I certainly know how they made me feel. Specifically, I just wanted to duck and run. From the first moment I read these words in preparation for this morning, I felt an inner tension about the message. In fact, my reflections on today's gospel word have set off an entire parade of soul-searching questions throughout this week. Questions like, does today's gospel represent what I believe and what I practice as a follower of Jesus? Am I doing what Jesus says in all of those circumstances he speaks of? Is it really possible for any of us to live like this in a world like ours? Now, before I go any further, I do want you to know that I really like what Jesus is saying. I find it not only inspiring, but worthy of my utmost. It's how I want to live and reflective of how I want our world to be. But the rub in all of this remains with me. What do you and I do when we run into someone who just seems flat out unlovable? How do we respond when someone rubs us the wrong way or directs an unforgivable act or comment toward us? I suspect that if you're at all like me, none of us responds as people who are offended in the way that the gospel directs us to. In fact, I find myself often steaming over matters that offend me far longer than is helpful or healthful. What's it like for you, friends? Have you ever ended a relationship, snoozed a friend on Facebook, refused to see or even speak with someone who has said something or did something you just found insufferable? In what ways have you and I entertained notions of wanting to strike back at someone in our lives with our sharpened tongues or comments on Facebook just because we wanted to get even with someone who has disappointed or stung us in ways that we feel need to be corrected? Are there people in our lives, family members, friends, neighbors, you name it, from whom we are withholding forgiveness in these days? I'm sure I could go on and on, digging deeply into the dark thoughts and feelings that many of us harbor in the secret corners of our lives. Maybe this is what makes today's gospel such a challenge for me, and perhaps you as well. Because all of us, I believe, are haunted by the convicting nature of our Lord Jesus' words to love our neighbors, to do good to those who hate us, bless those who curse us, pray for those who abuse us. Really, Jesus? Really? My instincts often lead me to do just the opposite, far more than I care to admit. This past week, I stumbled across a convicting story in a book I was introduced to in seminary days. It's got a great title that's memorable. The book is entitled, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And the author writes these words. It seems that in the Solomon Islands of the South Pacific, some villagers practice a unique form of logging. If a tree is too large to be felled with an axe, the natives cut it down by yelling at it. Woodsmen with special powers creep up on a tree just at dawn and suddenly scream at it at the top of their lungs. In fact, they continue this for 30 days, the theory being that the hollering kills the spirit of the tree. And according to those villagers, it always works. Now we laugh at such naivete, the author writes. Screaming at trees, indeed. How primitive, we say to ourselves. Too bad they don't have the advantages of modern technology and the scientific mind. Me? I yell at my wife, and yell at the telephone and the lawnmower, and yell at the TV and the newspaper and my children. I've even been known to shake my fist at the sky at times. Man next door yells at his car a lot. And this summer, I heard him yell at a stepladder for most of an afternoon. We modern, urban, educated folks yell at traffic and umpires and bills and banks and machines, especially machines. Don't know what good it does. Machines and things just sit there. Even kicking doesn't always help. As for people, well, the Solomon Islanders may have a point. Yelling at living things does tend to kill the spirit in them. As the saying goes, sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will break our hearts. Some thoughts to ponder today in light of today's gospel. I often find, friends, when I read challenging words like today, I feel like I live in this gap where my own pattern of thinking and behaving stands in stark contrast to what my Lord and Savior is calling me to do and to be about. Do you feel the tension I'm speaking of today? In each of our lives, contradictions exist between who we say we are and who we show ourselves to be. Contradictions between our beliefs and our actions. Stark contrasts between our desires to be Christ-like and the actual way that we live in the world. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers here, just inviting all of us to make an honest observation about how we are living these days. Let's look just for a moment at our actions. Listen to our words in light of today's gospel. What do we see in ourselves? What do we hear our voices saying? Where does our behavior match the gospel, and where doesn't it? Dear friends, what impact and consequences do our words and actions have upon the lives of those who live around us and with us? What behaviors do we need to change? And dare I say it, what behaviors do we just plain need to stop for the well-being of those around us as well as for ourselves? I suspect most of us in this room have been aware of the golden rule since you were in Sunday school. But I wonder sometimes, are we making choices these days that reveal a commitment to those words? Do to others as you would have them do to you. One thing I do know today is that the pain and brokenness that is in this world is great, insurmountable, it seems. In fact, it's always been this way and always will be until that time when Christ our Lord comes again to make things new. And while we await his coming, we must learn to share this world with each other, finding ways to treat one another with mutual respect and dignity. For all of us are indeed creations of God, no matter what color our skin is or our beliefs. All are creations of God and created in His image. And because we fellow travelers in this world are invited to get along, we must never make assumptions that we know everything we need to know about others and their lives, the pains they have endured, the sorrows they've journeyed through, the challenges they still hold. Perhaps that's why Jesus tells us, do not judge or condemn, but to be those who forgive and keep on forgiving as we have been forgiven by our Father in heaven. Maybe this is why Jesus tells us, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. After all, when everything has been said and done, can we really say that we've gained anything more by spending our time and our energy adding to the load of hurt and pain that is a part of this world? To me, that's the bottom line with regard to today's gospel lesson. Rather than contributing to building walls that separate us from one another, Jesus is urging us again to take up his cause and learn how to build bridges that connect, bridges constructed of love, of compassion, of mercy, of forgiveness, as hard as that may be at times. I'll close with a story. Once upon a time, two brothers who lived on adjoining farms fell into a conflict with each other. It was the first time that such a rift had occurred in over 40 years. They had shared machinery, labor, goods, anything that was needed without a hitch. But then one day, their long collaboration fell apart. It started out small enough, a minor misunderstanding that soon festered and grew into a major difference of opinion, and finally exploded into this painful exchange of sharp and bitter words that cut to the heart of both, followed by weeks and weeks and weeks of silence. One morning, there was a gentle knock at the older brother's door. He opened it to find a man standing there clutching a toolbox filled with carpenter's tools. "I'm looking for a few days' work," the stranger said. "Perhaps you have a few small jobs that I could do for you?" "Well, let me see," the older brother said as he rubbed his chin thoughtfully. "You know, I do have a job for you. Do you see that farm over yonder across the creek? That's my neighbor. In fact, it's my younger brother. Last week, he had the gall to take a bulldozer and knock down the levee on the river nearby. And now that there creek that runs between our properties is destroying some of the best hayland in the country. I think he did it to spite me. So I'm going to do something just as spiteful. Do you see that pile of lumber stacked over there by the barn? I want you to build for me a fence, yeah, an 8-foot-tall fence all along the creek line separating our properties. That way I don't have to look at him, he doesn't have to look at me, and we never need to talk again." The carpenter shrugged his shoulders and said, "Well, I think I understand the situation. If I could use your post-hole digger, I think I'll be able to do a job that pleases you." The older brother then went into town. He had to run some errands throughout the day, and he was gone most of the day. And during that time, the carpenter got really busy. He was industrious, measuring, sawing, nailing. And about sunset, the older brother finally got back to his farm, and the carpenter was just finishing his work. The farmer's jaw dropped when he saw what the carpenter had done. Instead of a fence like he had asked, the carpenter had built a bridge stretching from one side of the creek to the other. And it was a fine piece of work, sturdy, even had handrails. And already, the younger brother was coming across the bridge with his hand extended, shouting out to his brother, "You're quite the fellow to build that bridge, brother, especially after all that I said and have done." And as the two brothers met in the center of that bridge, they looked over at the carpenter, who was hoisting his tools as he was about to leave. "Wait," the older brother cried, "I've got a lot more projects for you." To which the carpenter replied, "I'd love to stay, friend, but I've got many more bridges to build." Sometimes, friends, it's far too easy to build walls between ourselves as opposed to bridges that connect us in our relationships with each other. Today's gospel, I think, is reminding us boldly that behaving badly never benefits anyone in the end. Ah, but love. Love, that word that our Savior speaks of so much, is a word that needs to be brought into action through you and me. And I think it fits best with the last word of our lesson today. And I've been reading it over and over again. Give, and it will be given to you. In other words, give love, give forgiveness, give mercy, give compassion, give understanding, give gentleness and kindness. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure that you give will be the measure you get back. May it be so.